Welcome to the MMA Roadshow bonus edition, UFC Fight Night 67. I got my man, John Anik, right here. We are in the Guyana airport because this is what the MMA Roadshow should all be about. Let me just describe the scene. So if anybody doesn't understand the scene right now, there is more beer than should be on the table for anybody, to be honest with you. It's looking like a frat party in this place, to be honest with you. That is my fault entirely because I am the one that bought all that. But there's we got Brahma,
yep.
We got Budweiser, Skol, Heineken, Stella.
Yep.
That's how we do.
Yeah.
That's how we do.
Craig Jackson's over here taking photos with his Brazilian fans.
I was going to say, first of all, there are so many VIPs around us. I'm not even sure we're allowed to reveal the names of everybody that's around us.
Right.
But the first one that sticks out to me is the extremely beautiful, 100% sexy Greg Jackson. Absolutely. And of course, noted MMA expert and coach and really just – Heidi Andral, they yep. really just bottom yep. line. Yep. I don't know if anybody knows this. I mean, you can share this backstage. She's really the one breaking it down for people, right? She's really the one that kind of goes into the locker rooms and tells people, this is really what we need to do.
Yeah, she was giving fighters game plans all week long, you know, stepping a little bit out of her comfort zone. I actually thought, though, that this headset was for Kevin McDonald, one of our fine referees who
and
is here.
And noted scrotum expert. Yeah. Noted scrotum expert. Kevin McDonald. I mean, let's talk about his handling of Ryan Jimmo's testicles. He
Dude.
Handled Ryan Jimmo's testicles so well. We were on the bus over. I told him, I said, listen, you did a fantastic job. As a commentator, what did you think about Kevin McDonald's handling of Ryan Jimmo's testicles?
Right. I mean, we knew he came in with the reputation as a great ball handler, and he lived up to that reputation. You know, he was so concerned to make sure the cup was not broken. I've never seen Kevin McDonald so animated. His hair actually went in a number of different directions as he was trying to make sure that the cup was not broken. And we, of course, later found out from Aaron Simpson that this was a cup purchased at Walmart.
No.
In Brazil.
What?
Yes. So perhaps in Ryan Jimmo's next fight, he will get a steel tie cup.
First of all, you're breaking news that there's Walmart in Brazil. There is a Walmart in Brazil?
Yes, there is a Walmart in Brazil.
How do you travel to Brazil and not have a cup?
It's a great question. Well, whether it was purchased in Brazil or the States, it was purchased at Walmart, and it was probably a cup, you know, that they use in Little League. So Jimmo certainly paid the price, and I'm sure Kevin McDonald won't soon forget Jimmo Bahoz here in Goiânia.
Well, all right, we're having good times. But I will say this. I did tell Kevin on the way over here, and I truly believe this. I thought he handled it very well. You could hear the audio, I'm assuming. I couldn't hear all the audio. I will say this. I will respect, because I think fighters have a tendency to rush back. First of all, let's just say, bottom line, steel tie cup. I don't want to turn into Joe Rogan all of a sudden, but come on, man. Get the steel cup. Everybody should have the steel cup. It can't cost that much. Come on, just get it. But let me just say, I want to praise Kevin for the way he handled it. You could hear the audio. I couldn't from press row, but I thought he did a fantastic job of making sure Ryan Jimmo had all the time. And then it looked like Ryan Jimmo was ready to come back, and Kevin said, listen, you still have another minute. Take that minute. And I think that's so smart. I see fighters rush back all the time.
Oh, yeah. We talk about it on the broadcast all the time. Why not take the 5 minutes? And, you know, it isn't a tough man competition to prove how tough you are, that you can take a groin strike or take an eye poke and get right back in there. You know, you might get a nice pop from the crowd if you get back in 30 seconds. But, yeah, no, I thought it was good refereeing, obviously, good of Jimmo to take the 5 minutes. But, you know, I got to say, I don't think he recovered. And I think his performance after the groin strike reflected that. You know, it's hard for us as commentators, and certainly you can speak to this having done play-by-play, when they're standing and staring and throwing one strike every 20 or 25 seconds. Jimmo was not the same after that strike. Bo Dow has had a history of gassing, and obviously that was a very forgettable third round. But, you know, for Ryan Jimmo, I don't know, man. I mean, his last two UFC losses ended by TKO due to injury, you know. So here I'm thinking, you know, dude, take your no contest and go home. But obviously he didn't do that. And, you know, one thing I will say, though, about the end of that fight, I've called 600, 700 of these UFC fights. I've never seen two guys stop fighting before the final bell.
When basically Ryan Jimmo was leaning against the cage and basically, like, let go and started patting Bahoso on the back and started to just like, hey, bro.
You got this, dude. You know, I've never seen anything like
that. That was
it.
Weird.
Yeah, not good. Not good form at all. Especially because the fight under-delivered. I mean, it didn't have great expectations to be the fight of the night necessarily, but that's one thing I'm sure Dana White, Lorenzo Fertitta, Joe Silva on down. That is something you do not want to see.
Yeah.
A fight that lacked action to pat your opponent on the back with 7 seconds to go. Not good form for Ryan Jammoh and Francis Marbojos last night.
So. That's weird. Do you know, from cage side, I was trying to look. It looked like he was driving. Do you know if he actually threw up or not? I mean, I don't know why that matters, but I guess I'm trying to get it on the record. Did he actually throw up? Do you know?
According to Kevin McDonald, he did not throw up.
He did not throw up.
So.
You know what? He's just sitting right there. We should just ask him.
I know.
Kevin McDonald, with your beautiful hair and your fine handling of Ryan Jammoh's testicles, did he throw up? Did you see? Was there any solid expulsion?
Nothing came out.
So a dry heave. That's good.
When he's done dipping, maybe we'll give him a headset. What do you think?
Yeah, man, that was rough to watch a guy dry heave. I think Ryan Jammoh should have just walked out, right? I mean, like, just say I'm done. I can't carry on. Is that just like a manly thing?
Well, yeah, of course, you know, and I think too, you know, you're sort of mentally you're going both ways in your head, but of course, as soon as the fight ends, you know, he sort of crumbles back down to the ground, and it clearly he was still fazed by it. So. Obviously, I think, you know, his previous UFC history maybe led to him making the decision to continue. As we mentioned, you know, obviously the Ovince St. Preux fight ended due to injury, and then a previous fight ended the same way. So, yeah, forgettable fight. Shocking that the MMA Roadshow would actually spend this much time on Ryan Jammoh and Francis Marbojos.
I'm just a big fan of Ryan Jimbo's testicles. there are people boarding, and we're going to run out of time very soon. We will not run out of beer anytime soon. I'm pretty sure we're going to have to slam these things as we leave. But let's get your thoughts on the main event. I said all week long, I think Carlos Condit was a deserving favorite. I did think I saw paths to victory for Thiago Alves. I saw the fact that, you know, he had fought two long-rangey opponents that I thought, you know, and I'll be honest, I gave the first round to him.
I thought his leg kicks
were strong. And then obviously that short elbow on the inside just changed everything for Carlos Condit. Just give me your thoughts on the main event.
Well, it's just interesting because one short elbow like that placed – you know, half an inch or a centimeter one way or the other can really change the whole complexion of the fight, you know. And obviously that strike took Thiago Alves out of the fight. I agree with you. I thought he won the first round. I also thought he was a live underdog. You know, I know we had spoken about sort of riding the hot hand. Thiago Alves was the hot hand. And, you know, some people suggested he looked like he lost a step against Jordan Meehan. You know, I sort of looked at it the other way, that he really rallied from adversity. And I just think this is a much more mature fighter mentally and physically. Obviously, we know the weight cut is no longer an issue. He really understands what it takes to take that next level. All of that said, Carlos Condit, there is no comparison to this guy in mixed martial arts. I mean, when this guy retires, we're really going to miss him.
Yeah.
He is just Albuquerque through and through in every sense, natural-born fighter in every sense, and it really is just amazing the way he puts combinations together. You don't know what limb is coming, and you don't know if it's going to be a three-strike combination or a seven-fight combination. Little surprise he didn't earn a post-fight bonus. I don't know what else you need to do to earn a performance bonus, but just a great return fight. You know, I thought it was shades of Dominic Cruz, you know, coming back and really picking up right where you left off and then some. So, obviously, a great night for Carlos Condit, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how they matchmake him moving forward because – man, this guy's got a huge fan base. I mean, everybody on Twitter saying, you know, happy Carlos Condit Day. And there really is this groundswell of support, I think, to get him into a title fight. I think, you know, Tyron Woodley obviously is going to have something to say about that. But, hey, good night for CC, man.
I was going to say, first of all, we should note that Bruce Buffer has walked up here. I mean, the Bruce is loose. He is here. When he's around, you have to say.
This guy is number two to Anderson Silva in Brazil,
I think so.
I mean, it is unbelievable. I'm amazed that he's actually here right now and not getting mobbed by these Brazilian fans.
We'll totally have my way. But let me ask you about Carlos Condit, because this is interesting. I saw a lot of outpouring on Twitter, either a Woodley rematch, which I think makes sense, because that was a fight that ended prematurely. Some people saying a Hendricks rematch. I don't know if the Hendricks rematch makes sense or not. And then some people are saying title fight. And then in the press conference, he said, I want the title fight. What do you think? I mean, obviously, it's not your job to make title fights, but do you think he's ready, or do you think one more fight?
Well, firstly, I would like to say I'd love to see these guys actually answer my question in the octagon instead of waiting for Heidi Angel or the post-fight press conference to make their call-outs. But, Man, you know, I think he's hard to deny on the strength of that performance. I do think a Woodley rematch makes sense, although for Tyron, I'm not sure that's something that he's going to be running to sign up for. Cause I do think Woodley is worthy of a title shot right now. I really do. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Woodley try to avoid a matchup with Carlos Condit. But, you know, the division's in great shape. You know, obviously Rory McDonald and Carlos Condit have a history, so I think depending on how that fight with Lawler and McDonald goes, that could make sense. You got Johnny Hendricks looming as well. You know, we talk about 185 never being healthier. And now, given what Condit did last night, and you look at that top seven at 170 pounds, I don't know that it's ever been more interesting than it is right now in 2015. Good problem to have that there are a lot of guys who you'd like to see fight for a title. And, of course, we already have a title fight booked coming up in 6 weeks.
It's weird. I mean, when you lose the dominant champion like George St. Pierre, like an Anderson Silva, like whatever, like it sounds like it sucks. He's like, oh, we're losing this great guy. I mean, even John Jones to a degree. You know what I mean? Like you're losing this guy for however long. But it does kind of make the whole division more exciting because all of a sudden the matchups are all fresh.
Well, and also now the sport is 3 or 4 years further into its development and into its evolution. So you start to wonder how guys like Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre would fare against this new crop of talent. You know, Kenny Florian talks about it all the time. You know, obviously a man who fought for 3 world titles. But where do you think Kenny Florian would stack up right now to the 155-pounders? I mean, this is a different division than when Kenny fought. So I think overall, the talent level has never been deeper, certainly in those core divisions, 55, 70, and 85. But, man, I mean, I'm not convinced that George St. Pierre could come back and dominate this division right now.
I'm not either. That's an incredible say. All right, well, we'll keep this short again because, first of all, we have beers that need to be crushed before we get on this plane, which is going to happen very soon, and also because I'm very appreciative of your time. But let me just say, any last impressions? I mean, Alex Cowboy Oliveira seems like a potential rising star.
That's a fighter, man.
Charles Oliveira, man, I mean, the fight with Nick Lentz was a lot of fun, certainly deserving of bonuses. Mirsad Bektis, we didn't even talk about him. That guy looks like a beast. So, I mean, as we're sitting here, we're about to jump on a plane. We're what, 12, you know, hours after the fight or whatever. I don't know. Anything that really stands out to
well,
you?
Well, certainly Mirsad Bektik. And I think we can all be sure that his next fight will not be on the prelims. And I think he certainly earned an opportunity against the top 15 opponent. You know, with Bektik, it's sort of been a methodical progression the way they have advanced his career, and I think they've really done right by him. And now, I believe at 10-0, still perfect, obviously, in the UFC, I think he's ready for a top 15 guy, you know. And I think Bektik is now of the belief at 24 years old that if he does have to go out and fight Max Holloway or Charles Oliveira, that he is ready now. And making that UFC debut a couple years ago, I'm not sure he would have been ready for those fights. From what I saw last night, I think he is ready for elite competition. So I'm very, very curious to see how they will matchmake Mirsad Bektik. But my biggest takeaway on this show is Charles Oliveira. Here's a guy who's 25 years old, made his pro debut at 18, made his UFC debut at 20 years old, and immediately submission of the night blew everybody out of the water. I believe he submitted Darren Elkins in his UFC debut. Here he is, 25 years old. He's made $450,000 in performance bonuses.
What?
Incredible. You know, 9 performance bonuses for Charles Oliveira. He's only 25 years old. I mean, this guy might be the first guy to, you know, 45, 50 UFC fights. Just incredible to see his evolution and his maturity. And it's, you know, it's amazing for some of these guys who get such an early start that, you know, you can be 25 years old and have, you know, 5.5, 6 years of UFC.
That's incredible. So, yeah. I had no man, you're blowing my mind with that stat.
How about
that's really
that,
incredible.
Huh?
I did not know
that. Yeah, they double bonus him last night, so that gives him 9, not to mention his show and win money. That's a very wealthy man right now, and he deserves it. I mean, he really moves the needle here in Brazil. And just must-see TV. I mean, I said before the fight, for me, you know, he's on the short list of guys who is just always must-see television, win or lose. I think he earned a lot of respect from the masses in the Frankie Edgar fight, and of course since, he's won 4 in a row. So seems like a lot of people want to see him fight Max Holloway. I'm not sure if that'll be the next fight, but I'd certainly pay to see
it. I guess stylistically and body type and stuff like that, and not to mention the ranking, that seems like a lot of fun. So I'd be down for that. Well, all right, well, we're going to wrap up just because, A, again, we have beers that we need to finish before we get on the plane.
We do.
You know, whether you'll partake or not.
Well, I'm
fine.
Pounding a skull right now with you, Johnny.
But let me just say thank you. Thank you very much. And let me just also peel back the curtain a little bit. I pulled you away from doing – New Orleans prep notes, man. I mean, you already had a folder out. Again, I know that as broadcasters, and we talked about last time in the Philippines, which is seems like a forever ago,
yeah.
But it was like a couple weeks ago. That you honestly are one of the biggest preppers, most researchers in the game. I mean, obviously Brian Stan does a fantastic job as well. But I mean, literally, I walked over here and I you know, you were doing research notes for the card in New Orleans next week, and I said, hey, would you mind stopping so we could do like a little bonus edition, have a little fun, and I mean. That's incredible, dude. Like, you were already – I mean, you're grinding.
What a loser, huh? Already prepping New Orleans. Now, well, ultimately, you know, if I can get ahead of the fighter cards this early, then it only leaves more room to watch film or ingest, you know, more footage and content of these guys later in the week. So, you know, as play-by-play guys, and you and I have talked about this before – If a fight card gets delayed 5 hours, you can always fill that time with prep. You know, as play-by-play guys, we probably use about 30% of the stuff that we actually prepare. But, you know, it's not like you ever feel like you're done preparing for a fight. I mean, you know, some people call it cramming. I don't really think that's fair, especially when I'm in a stretch here right now. I'm doing 4 live events in 5 weeks. But to me, it's like, you know, I'm prepping essentially right up until I go to the arena. And, you know, because you never know when you'll read that one last article on Junkie or UFC.com that'll give you a nugget that ends up making it into the broadcast that you just haven't ingested earlier. So, yeah, it's a constant process of preparation. And yeah, I'm gonna have a few beers though and shut down the New Orleans prep right now, I think.
That's a beautiful thing. All right, well, we're gonna wrap up a little bonus edition for the Gagne Airport. Bruce Buffer is stuck taking pictures there, everybody. Kev McDonald is assessing testicles all over the place. Greg Jackson is looking beautiful. Heidi Andral is giving the best coaching in the business. All those things are happening. That's how we do. The crew is large. It is here, and We're gonna get on a plane, and the traveling road
shaking
show.
Shaking her head at us right now.
The traveling road show is moving from town to town. That's what this should all
I
be
love
about.
It. I love it. That's well, thank I'm you for having me. You know, I'm a P1 listener of the MMA Road Show, so appreciate the chance to chat with you as always. And I think we got to do one of these when I'm sufficiently banged up too. Just let it fly, you know.
Maybe in the Big Easy.
Let's do it, man. I'll be there.